Encouraged by Polan, the book was originally published anonymously in France in 1954 by Jean-Jacques Pauvert. Anne de Clos, as herself, had joined Gallimard Publishers as an editorial assistant in 1946, and then as Dominique Horry translated much of her beloved English literature, such as Swinburne, Eliot, Wolfe, Waugh, and Scott Fitzgerald into French, becoming an established critic and literary judge in the process. 1954 was a year in which colonial powers felt threatened. The year in which the left-wing Mondo France became Prime Minister of France, the French were defeated in the Franco-Vietnamese War, Algeria was rebelling, and the British occupation of the Suez Canal ended. The story of O was at first rejected by timid publishers, but Pauvert had just published all the works of Sade and braved 8 years of court cases. Indicating recognition of its lucrative notoriety, O was published at the same time in rushed English by Maurice Girodiard, Pauvert's colleague and the founder of Olympia Press. Olympia was famous for publishing naughty French novels in English for tourists to defeat foreign censorship. French censorship laws didn't really mind works in English, perhaps considering it a trivial language, but the conservative British customs pressured the Paris police to seize and destroy Olympia books often. In 1955, O received a Des Bargeaux Prize for daring and innovative literature, but became the subject of French obscenity charges. These were annulled in 1959, although advertising and sale to minors were banned for eight years. De Clos remained devoted to Polan, who was elected to the Académie Française in 1963 and was by his bedside when he died in 1968. She is there supposed to have written Retour à Voici Précède une fille amoureuse, published in 1969 by Jean-Jacques Pauvert, but there are doubts about its authorship. Nothing, however, can come between a French publisher and a good love story. In O itself, we should note that the version approved by de Clos does not have the later published ending in which the heroine decides to suicide after being discarded by her lover. This was a version Polan believed to be illogical, and indeed it would have a jarring realism and sense of finality, uncommon in de Clos's model Sade. The amputation and abuses inflicted on Sade's heroines tend to have vanished and they are whole again in the next chapter, and it is clear that de Clos wanted to give both Polan and the general reader an unshaded sense of pleasure. This fits completely with her purpose that eroticism serves to contradict conservative political power. Some feminists have a problem with the masochism celebrated in the novel, and it is true that consent in it isn't as explicit at the beginning as at the end, and to some feminists consent in itself is problematical. But vivid in the French literary awareness of masochism would be wry writings such as Proust's description in Remembrance of Things Past of Baron de Charlieu trying to persuade a concerned hired lover to continue to whip him even though Charlieu begs for mercy. It is through such scenes that Proust redefines the arrogant aristocrat Charlieu as a frail and less powerful human being, presaging the later intensely political ending to Proust's novel, in which all the vital characters are defined or redefined by their attitudes to the Dreyfus case, but the scene also confirms that Charlieu is completely consenting. The idea that sadomasochism is anti-feminist, or that the story of O approves of violence, as François Chalet accused bringing the Gestapo into the boudoir, misunderstands the power de Clos is assuming over violence and desire, claiming equality with Sade and depicting an aristocratic landscape in which O's wishes to be made self-oblivious by ecstasy are fulfilled continuously. No other characters have importance. The power figures are objectified ciphers, and any form of pain is defeated by its own erotic function. It was as if Polan was confronted with a Sade novel written by Justine herself, which was the effect de Clos intended. The final owl-like stillness, like that desired by Lawrence, is a piece that is alert and sensitized to the point of existential satisfaction. In terms of the French publishing world, or the publishing world as such, and love stories, the publicity version that the tender de Clos was discovered and persuaded to publish by a paternalistic and protective Paulhan is interesting in that it reflects a central fantasy in the cultural imagination, and one that assumes a subjugation greater than anything de Clos ever chose to explore. Once a few years ago, when I was published by a more conservative publisher than my daughter and had won some prizes, a woman writer and editor friend told me that she had remarked to him how good it was that he and I had an old-fashioned publisher-author relationship. I remember being startled at the time, as my communications with him were then quite minimal. They briefly became closer later when all was already lost in publishing terms. After his initially and unsuccessfully pressuring me to remove some political prose from one book, I was supplying him by email with regular collections and only making a few technical corrections to them. Her remark made me wonder if my intimations of being on borrowed time were wrong, rather as when some well-meaning outsider praises a hollow marriage. But no, I was still in a very distant orbit to that sun. Was I sad about that? A little, because the image of an old-fashioned author-publisher relationship is seductive as well as self-evidently dangerous. It occurs all the time in popular fiction where the author is usually some kind of nervous wreck alternating between careless risks and neurotic self-protection, and the publisher has both a protective and enabling role. Genders in this seem to be interchangeable, as in the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society novel and movie, which has a male publisher and female author, the recent movie bestsellers, female publisher, male author, and variations in which both roles are of the same gender. Linked to cultural traditions such as that embodied by the story of O, the concept also seems popular in pornography as such. As a concept, it is clear why it would appeal to an author, but it offers a political microcosm just as dangerous as, and closely related to, the conservative creation of conflict. Recently, a reviewer of one of my books misunderstood my observation that some biographers use the same methods as the CIA in recording the psychological frailties of their subject in order to undermine them politically. He thought I was suggesting these frailties were manufactured, but I was pointing out that genuine frailties were being exaggerated and exploited. There is an assumption in intelligence agencies that artists are psychologically vulnerable and manipulable, just as these agencies often prefer such vulnerabilities when they are recruiting. In regard to one of those recent biographies, which depicts Ethel Rosenberg as being pathetic and unwittingly caught up in events leading to her appalling execution, I was interested that the biographer used at least one interview to make the comparison between the author's version of Rosenberg and the girlfriend of Roman Protasevich, a Western-funded Azov battalion neo-Nazi paramilitary, who had been taken off a plane in Belarus and arrested. The girlfriend was in fact the editor of a doxing channel posting the private addresses of policemen, the judiciary and other functionaries, but there was obviously some agenda in stressing the unluckiness of her involvement, so it was connected quite surprisingly to the example of Rosenberg. There may be two functions here: to remove Rosenberg's political agency, thus also warning against the dreadful dangers of being politically involved even accidentally, and to underline the supposed victimisation of Protasevich's companion. At any rate, the accustomed intelligence agency practice of exploiting psychological vulnerability and perceived naivety in a powerful microcosm is very similar to that microcosm offered in the old-fashioned publisher-author relationship.